All right, we're back.
Yeah, for the bonus round.
Bonus round, that's right.
Jimmy Dolan.
The first part of this, if you listen to it, the other, I guess it's going to be on a separate cut, I don't know, but the first part was, we had to do for a show where...
We just can't shut up.
We can't shut up. We got more stuff to say.
There's so much more.
So it's still...
We had to practice our timing for syndication.
That's right. So anyway, there'll be no timing here.
No.
We just ramble on.
We're going to ramble until we pass out.
That's right, that's right.
Speaking of passing out, I got something to pass out. We got some Hanger Dogs coolies and coolies.
Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs.
Oh, that's great.
Give that one a Jack.
We're throwing.
Okay, and I don't get one because I don't drink beer. No, I don't want one. Seriously. I got the little stickies and the...
You can keep a soda popping.
No, it's made for beer. There's no question about it.
So you think the Hanger Dogs, do they drink beer there?
Oh, my God. I should send you all the pictures that I took when I was out there.
I've seen them.
Oh, my God. You talk, they
are, here's
they
Jimmy are. In the bushes. Here's Jimmy on the lawn.
That's it. That's exactly right. Anyway, the...
Hey, thank you, Hanger Dogs.
Yeah, top notch.
Yeah,
super top notch.
She's
obnoxious.
I'm going to love this.
Ultra top notch. This is great. Anyway, we were talking a little bit earlier about the terrorist arrests and so forth, and of course that has to do with the Homeland Security, and it dovetails with the immigration. As you know, people talk about immigrants. They're worried about they throw in the fear all the time. It's not enough for the Mexicanos and the Guatemalans and Hondurans and so forth to come in and take over jobs, but the reprobates, the terrorists and so forth, can come in with them. So we have to have...
You know, in fact, just the opposite, I would argue, is true. That is to say, the more they wall...
This will be forever known as the beeping show. Unbelievable.
Are you wearing a watch?
Say, you got a watch?
Say.
It's got to be the watch.
It's got to be the watch.
Put it in the other room.
Okay, we'll get rid of it.
Let's throw it out the window.
I don't know. Great. We'll shrink that segment down.
Let's start again, right? We can start again.
Yeah, what were you talking about?
I don't know.
Oh. I was talking about immigration. No, you know what happened was I actually had started to set that darn watch up for the previous show, and obviously forgot to turn it off. Okay, great.
Really, we're just practicing for a distraction.
That's right. I want to see if you're listening.
This is all just a practice.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the point is that this immigration, they talk about terrorists coming in and so forth. There was a fairly lengthy, all things considered, lengthy article on the internet a couple days ago by Roger Lowenstein called The Immigration Equation. And it turns out that there's two guys that have written rather extensively on whether it's good for the United States or not. One guy is this guy named Burjas, who's a Cuban immigrant who came in on the Mariel boat thing in 1962, and he's a naturalized citizen. He says it's bad for America that the immigrations are here. I'm thinking, well, you know, you don't like them the way they make. I don't speak Spanish, man.
It was good for him. But.
It was good, yes, fine for him. Then there's another guy named Card. I think his name is Card or Carl or something. Anyway, and he says he's taken the opposite. They both have done extensive statistical studies with a lot of this is scholarly research they've done, and they both come to basically opposite conclusions. So what are you going to do? And what I do is I go back to the gut thing on this. And the gut thing is, Thomas Sowell wrote an article about it. He apparently has weighed in on this, and he said that it looks like a bad thing also. People are worried about the 12 million that are here and what's going to happen if that ends up being 30 million. Because last time, in 1986, we had 3 million illegals here. They did the amnesty thing, and they ended up with 12 million.
And our country imploded. Wait a minute.
And of course, what Thomas Sowell says is, and this was a mistake on his part. He said, "What's going to happen if you rounded up to 12 million? So what?" He says, "You know, remember during the Second World War, they rounded up 12 million people of the 12 million of our youngest, brightest, most strength. They sent them over to Europe, and we still had a booming economy." Of course. What a comparison. I mean, war. Okay, right. I mean, first of all, we had rationing. We had everybody was in on it back then. If he thinks that times were good during the Second World War, he's crazy. And not only that, over 500,000 people got killed in the process. I mean, you know, of the future of America got wiped out. I mean, to compare those two 12 million, deporting those 12 million is ludicrous.
Well, I think what his point is that the country would survive. But I think the counterpoint that he makes himself is, it would be a rough road to try to do
well,
that.
Well, no. Well, Bloomberg, of course, is saying that the economy, the total United States economy, would collapse if you did that. Of course, that's hyperbole. We know that's not true, and that's what Sol's point is, that if you take the $12 billion away, the economy's not going to collapse. Of course, if they're here, obviously it's not collapsing. So they, right. Anyway, they did these
studies. That's the mistake, is that they assume, because they see, let's say, a reduction in wages.
Well, this is
that's bad, but they don't see the contrapoint, which is that means you can hire more people.
Well, not only that, the reduction in wages, remember, means that you're not paying as much for the stuff that you buy, which means you have money left over to buy other stuff with.
Yeah, that's the engine of the economy.
That's the engine of the economy. The point exactly, and wages. I mean, everything's wages anyway. So if I have to pay $100 to have my lawn mowed versus $30 to have my lawn mowed, you think, what happened to the guy who I was supposed to pay $100 to? He's hurt. The point is, I got $70 left over to go buy something else.
Right.
And that's going to create a job for somebody. Right. I mean, it doesn't go away. It's a classic case of the seen and unseen. One of the things that these guys want to do in Congress, now they're arguing, and the Senate is caving. The Senate had an 800-page bill, mind you. This was what they called the amnesty bill. 800 pages. And the House, of course, has passed a thing that said, we're build the wall. No new people. No amnesty first. Enforcement first.
Build the wall.
Build the wall first. Nobody else. Nobody gets in anymore. We're going to be xenophobic and
the more everything. You tighten your grip.
Exactly. Well, that's of course the whole thing is we're dealing here. On its face, you can see it's one thing when you try and control the market for some things, but you got 12 million people and more coming in every day. And you're not, there's no, even 800 pages is not even going to remotely do that. They're talking about new sanctions on employers who hire illegals. And you can bet
draconian measures.
That's exactly right. And the point is,
that'll stop them.
Right. Sure. it ain't going to happen. And the point is, even which it disappoints me because I love Thomas Sowell. I mean, he's usually so good, but this is wrong. So many of these people are wrong on so many levels with this. The fact is that when you take away all the people that pick the grapes, sure, somebody will invent a grape machine. And they talk about the exchange of labor for capital. It happens all the time. I mean, the simple fact is, if you can get your lawn mowed for $10, I'm not going to buy a lawnmower. It's that simple. So that's okay. But if somebody's going to charge me $1,000, I'm sorry, I'm going to go to Sears and get my $200 lawnmower and I'll do it myself. I mean, we understand that that's the way things work. And you do exchange labor for capital. You can dig a hole for your foundation for your house with 14 people and 14 shovels, or you can get one guy and a bulldozer. But that's, the bulldozer is capital. It's something that's been stored up over the time. So the market will figure this out. And I'm thinking about here, the way they figured out here in Florida. Let me put it this way. What they want to do is they want to make sure that nobody is illegal immigrants pick vegetables with crops and so forth here.
Oranges.
Oranges and
they're
trying to protect their share. So they want to do is they want to have the fruit Gestapo go out there, I guess, and make sure that these people don't have any illegal aliens on the plantation out there, whatever, picking the stuff. And of course, they solved the problem here. Around here, we have the you pick places. You know, that
you pick blueberries.
You pick blueberries, right. And of course, in the blueberry, right now we're in the middle of blueberry season. You go out there I'm wondering what happens if
soon they're going to have robots out there doing it.
Well, only if the price goes to the point where the price for labor goes up to high enough where you can afford the machine.
So if you're an illegal immigrant,
Bob drives up with a bus full of people that want to do you pick, and it turns out they're all wearing sombreros and speak a foreign language. I mean, who's going to, you know, I'm here for you pick, man.
That's right.
Hey, man, we're going to you pick, eh?
Yeah, I'm addicted to you. Picking stuff.
That's right. We're going to pick it up, man. We're going to take it with us. Hey, we're going to go take it on the road, man.
So I agree. Our economy could easily absorb the people, and it actually generates wealth in the process. And they talk about the numbers, but they don't remember that the population was a lot less back then.
Well, they talk about
waves.
But there were percentages. It turned out that right around the turn of the century, about 15% of the people here were what they called aliens or first generation or whatever they were. They're coming through elsewhere. And now it's 12% as they think. They don't know. I mean, again, a lot of these numbers are fudged. They're guessing, statistical analysis and so forth. But you have to deal with the reality of it. And the simple fact is that You look at the countries that try and stop the immigration or have other solutions, like France and England, for instance. France is certainly not doing any great. And the both of these studies, I will say this, both of these studies do indicate that the social services, i.e., and mainly we're talking about the schools and the hospitals, that the social services that are, quote, provided for citizens for free.
Right, when someone gets hurt, they go in.
They have to by law. And of course, that's a problem by law. So anyway, the guy walks in, not allowed to ask him if it's illegal immigrant or not. And they're saying they're clogging up the system. Well, systems. But in some places, okay, it could be true in some specialized locales for sure. But it can't, with only 12 million out of 300 million people here, it can't be all that bad. I mean.
And they pay some of that cost.
Well, again, that's what the studies, the guy from Cuba has shown with his statistics that they don't. And the other guy from Berkeley has showed that they do. And.
Well, we've talked about statistics before.
Again. Yeah, there's damn lies and statistics.
And so,
the deal is that, as I've said so many times, the real problem is that you've got a school system that's government run and you've got a healthcare system that's essentially government run. And therein lies your problem for openers. And one of the things that the fellow from Cuba makes, his big point is that in the previous waves of immigration, the people that were coming in were a lot like the Americans that were already here. For instance, in 1900, 90% of the people that were in the workforce had not graduated from high school. Now a lot of people do. They get a diploma.
Now more
I'm not
educated
sure.
than
right. And so now what's happening is that the people coming up from Guatemala and so forth are high school dropouts, if you want to call it that. Of course, in this country, I think that's probably a good thing. You're not indoctrinated, which is, that's all the schools do here is to basically indoctrinate you. So you've actually been avoiding
that.
You got
out of high school? Excellent. We'll take you.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, so the deal is the other thing is on the high end of the scale, the immigrants, they've restricted it, so severely restricted it with this H-1B business. And why would you deny scientists and PhD people, unless they have to read the social sciences, but I mean, scientists and that kind of rights to come into this country?
Right, they're trying to keep it to what, 30,000 a year, 12,000?
No, it's
not many.
It's not many, right. There are 500,000 people a year that they think that come into this country legally or illegally. And about 10% of that is the legal, you got a visa.
Green card.
Well, I think that the legal number is 700,000, and there's another extra 700,000 or a million that they expect come in on top of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, to be honest with you, I will defer to your infinite wisdom on that. I thought the numbers
were
different.
But that's the 700,000 is a relatively recent thing. That is to say, the policy is immigration. Changes, yeah, the policy of immigration changes every few decades.
Well, not only that, it's subject to these little petty tyrants. I mean,
that's the whole point, is that it because of that, it's changed in all these bizarre ways.
Right.
Excluding certain countries at different times.
Right.
China was excluded for a few years. Japan was excluded for a few years. And
you think?
I
can think of a couple years you wouldn't want to.
But
it is amazing how many Iranian cab drivers there are in Washington, D.C. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, that's a lot of people. The guy that brought me back from the airport here in Gainesville was from Iran.
Really?
Yeah, he'd been here for about a dozen or no, he's been 20 some years. Mm. Sent kids through college, everything here. Anyway, the deal is that the other thing that you have to realize is who's going to pay for Social Security in a couple of years? I mean, we're not producing enough of our own. It's just,
well, that's just another problem.
I know that's that. I don't want to get into that either. But I look at this as
same Social Security tax. That's what's going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's right. No. The point is that it is xenophobia. I think that underneath all of this. They always say it's for the children, old people, whatever. They bring up, and what about the poor workers? And, you know, so we're holding down the current workers in the United States are not getting a living wage because we need to raise the minimum wage to, you know, $40 an hour or whatever it is so that everybody gets rich.
Yeah, they actually got some Republicans over on that side.
Oh, my God. It's just astounding. Well, it's one of the things that Thomas Sowell says in his thing is we can make a difference. He says, if you'll write your congressman or whatever and tell him that you're not happy with the situation, he says, they do listen, and the first thing that really counts is the votes. And as Abraham Lincoln once said, You can't fool all of the people all the time. Well, I got a newsflash for him. In this town, you only have to fool 10% of the people, because that's typically how many people swing the vote. I mean, there's usually typically under 20% go vote of the electorate.
I would say about 30%.
On a good year. Right. A good year is 30%. No, but if you have an off year, like in March, sometimes they'll have a special election for something. Literally, this last election, that when they did the choices thing, which is a joke, the turnout was, I believe it was 18%. And remember,
it's pitiful.
It's 18%. And it passed by 85 votes, which means that fewer than 10%, under 10% of the people that vote,
the voting population,
of the voters, registered voters, got it through. 90% of the people did not vote for that program that could have voted. Right. Now, again, you say, well, they fought for that voting. Well, again, this is the whole point is you fool 10% of the people. That's all you have to do.
Some of the time.
And if you can convince the other 80% or 90% to stay home somehow, you know, with a bomb threat, I don't know. Listen to the Jimmy Doan show.
We want you to vote.
Or you could close the liquor stores. That'll keep them home.
Our listeners.
They used to be.
Do it on a game day.
Go on a game day, right. Yeah. No, it used to be they did. Of course, this was...
Give them 48 hours from like Friday 7 a.m. till Sunday 7 p.m.
Nah, BS. As far as I'm concerned,
you should have a mandatory 75% of the people have to vote to make any new laws.
I have always said you should have quorum.
Right.
Nothing gets passed without a quorum.
Right.
Most especially a tax increase.
Right.
A tax decrease, as far as I'm concerned, any more than one person votes, you're done. But a tax increase ought to be a supermajority and a quorum.
Right.
And a quorum. If you don't get 50% of the vote for the tax increase,
explain to our SpongeBob audience what a quorum is.
Oh, I'm sorry, quorum.
A majority.
Yeah, majority. You have to have at least 50% of the people show up.
I like that in my homeowners association.
When you think about it, though, and I would say you have to have a supermajority of that, because if 51% of the people show up and 27% of the electorate, i.e. over half of the people that vote for the that's not good enough. I would say that you have to have a quorum, and then three quarters of...
If 7 or 8 out of 10 people can't agree that something should be a crime, then it shouldn't be a crime.
Of course, the thing about it is that gets into another area for this discretion business, which is always scary. It can be good news and bad news. I remember when I used to drive my Rolls around and drunk.
I remember that.
Back
when it was legal, and they would stop me and they'd say, Jimmy, can we take you home? You know, like they did the Kennedy thing.
And of course, you said, is it okay if I say no?
No, that's when you say, take me home.
Anyway,
Mr. Kennedy,
that was called
watch your head when you're getting in.
That's right. Well, that was called the POR, the power of the Rolls. Now in my Honda, unfortunately, even as I'm pulling over, they do the bump thing to try and run me over.
Oh, we got Jimmy again.
That's right, we got him again.
Driving down university. That's right.
That's right. So anyway, the deal on the to emphasize the point on the people picking the fruits. Now, this is not a gay bashing thing. I don't understand. You need to make sure. We're talking about the things that grow out of the ground.
Illegals.
Okay. To try and get the illegals or legals or whatever it is, Mexican people speak Spanish, whatever, out of those fields is ludicrous. Because I say, I would just drive up with my bus and say, this is my family, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big family. We're going to pick the fruits and go to the, you know, whatever it is.
And the other side of the bus has one of those awnings that pops out.
Right.
The side drops down.
That's right.
Stand.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Buy yours here. That's right.
It ought to be that easy, but, you know, they have to go to freaking 47 committees of state, city, local, county, and regulatory board.
That brings up another
commission
thing.
Inspections and
you have hit the nail on the head.
And inspections.
Well, the question always asked, you have to ask is, who regulates the regulators?
Well, that's the big question.
Arugulator.
The arugulator.
But no, Mr. Arugulator. What regulates the regulator?
The answer has to be themselves, of course.
The answer is blowing in the wind. So anyway, the deal is, though, I was watching our erstwhile Channel 12 here, our government access, and they have the Community Redevelopment Agency, and they try and decide which areas. Did I talk about this before? Which areas are blighted and which ones aren't?
Yeah, we've touched base.
Okay, I touched base on that. But I watched them again, and it is phenomenal. I would say that one thing that they're pretty good at, that the city commission meetings especially, is handing out awards. They do, and if that's all they did,
they're good at plaques.
We'd be in pretty. Yeah, they did. No, they had. Somebody had gotten it. Had some Eagle Scout. It was his day. Unfortunately, it was like 3 or 4 days before, so he didn't get to. I mean, he got the plaque and everything, but they did the applause. But have you ever noticed that government type committees or people or groups or whatever are real good at congratulating each other? They have things all the time where they're patting each other on the back for a good job. Job
Mrs.
well
Walker
done.
Walker has done a hard job. You know, no, hard-working job.
That's right. And retirement, you know, it's...
They're usually good at giving themselves a raise every year or two.
Well, they
Until someone screams real loud, then they just give themselves a little raise.
Well, there ought to be overlying prohibitions against certain...
Well, they've tried everything. Here's the deal. When the state is involved, when the state is making the rules... They get around them. I mean, let's face it. They make a rule.
Are we in a constitutional amendment?
Not even a constitutional amendment, but they make a rule. It might be a constitutional amendment or an addition to our charter here. And the next thing you know, they're the ones that make the rules. And it's like this 800 pages of Senate. 800 pages? Give me a break.
Let them in.
Or don't.
Keep them out.
That's right. Check one. I mean, that's it. How long would it take? The deal is when the state is making the rules, you can bet that they're going to leave themselves an out or a way around it or a loophole or something. It happens every time. And the noose, I can tell you right now, listeners, the noose is tightening. I was reading this one thing here. Let me see if I can find it here real quick because it was something else that I did want to talk about.
Infamous noose?
The infamous noose, yep. The deal is that they want to this is a phrase they love to use around here. They want to tighten up. Tighten up is what they say. Tighten up the regulations regarding renting here in town on the students.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
That's exactly right. And they think they can do it. And the regulations that they want to pass on the landlords, and Mrs. Jimmy is a landlord, so she gets nailed with the tax that they want to do. They want to raise the tax on landlord, the licensing fee from $75 to $275 to pay for this. And the
licensing fee,
right? Well,
that's a double negative.
Yeah, right. Had a little redundancy there. Yeah. See, the point is that they are worried because some of the homeowners that have been here for ages in this what these call single family neighborhoods that happen to be about literally a stone's throw from the university are being overrun by students, and of course the students don't want to drive because the traffic is so bad here and the roads are pretty bad. We talked about that one time.
They want to live close to campus.
They want to live close to campus. So what happens is daddy comes up here, buys a house, and puts, you know, four kids in it or something like that all over their cars. And the next thing you know,
violates the plan.
It violates so many plans. And now what they want to do is they're assigning
plan
points.
Plan A, plan B, plan C.
Well, noise ordinance, yard trash, too many cars, unrelated people in the same house, yada, yada, on and on and on.
Well, they already had that one. You can't have more than three unrelated people living in a home.
I know, but I'm saying that they want to tighten up. Now they want to assign
a
point system. Well, I don't know about that.
It has to be a man and a woman. And have to be married.
Ooh, that sucks.
Both human.
That's right. Was it like remember in The Simpsons? What was it? Kang made it out with on one of the
large
treehouse of the
yeah. One of the best ones.
Was quick.
What are you implying? I have an early meeting.
Yeah. Oh, look at the time.
Yeah. that was one of those treehouse of the horse.
Treehouse of horrors. That was classic.
Little 10-minute episode. Yeah, if you get a chance, that was a
I love the Jerry Springer one. You don't frighten me with that scary ray gun. Half the audience. Gone.
Oh, these are great times. Great times to be watching The Simpsons. Okay. I've lost my train of thought now. Thanks a lot, pal. No, the point is they want to have this new point system, and now they want to tighten up. It used to be you were allowed one violation in 90 days, and if you re-rented the house, the clock started over again, and so forth and so on. But in the 3 years this thing's been in operation, no landlord, the people are pissed because no landlord has had their license revoked, their permit, their, what do you call it, their landlord. You have to go down
slumlords.
Slumlord. Well, again, they haven't they've right. assigned the points and they've cleaned up just enough to get over the 90-day limit or the whatever the limits are. I don't know what it is. And the noise, maybe the noise limit or something like that.
And they don't have enough control.
Yeah, they're not. So this guy, who I will not mention his name, Craig Lowe.
That's what it rhymes with.
It rhymes with Craig Lowe. Yeah, he's, you know, a little socialist tyrant person. And he's decided that, I mean, tell me what you really mean, Jimmy. So he's, you know, a little tin pot and wants to, you know, this is what I think. This is the way we ought to do it. And you know, we'll get some input. They're going to take 3 or 4 or 5 months. They're going to have the obligatory community input, and then they're going to do what they damn well please.
Again, like the input from the meeting you attended the other day?
Say what?
Like the input from the meeting you attended the other day?
Yes, yes, the meeting, right. We tolerate no dissent here.
Tell listeners about that meeting in brief.
I mentioned it on the last show. We talked about it. Didn't I talk about the Thelma Bolton thing?
No.
No!
That didn't happen.
It hadn't happened. Oh, right. My God. Okay, I'm going to... Can I digress now?
Digress away.
I think we're done with the last subject.
Okay,
anyway,
squeeze it off. No, they had a big half-page article, a half-page ad in the paper that said, come on down, public meeting, we're voting, we want to have national health care, and it's sponsored by the Labor Party of the United States, which, for those of you who don't know, the Labor Party is the polite name for the Communist Party. Literally. I'm not kidding.
Right.
A bunch of unions were in on this thing and so forth. And then they were going to have listeners from the our state, national, and local representatives were going to sit on this. And one of our past commissioners was moderating the thing. I won't tell you what her name is, but it's the smallest coin that we have in the United States.
A small copper thing.
And something that they grow in Kansas.
Yeah, and they were growing Kansas, right. So anyway... she was going to moderate the thing, and so I went down there. They said, we want to come to testify. And I thought the first thing I could think of was some old gospel thing. I'm going to testify. Mm-hmm. So this is what I thought. They wanted you to come down and testify. So I went down there. This is down here at the Thelma Bolton Center, and I went
Jimmy
down.
Goes to
Jimmy,
testify.
Jimmy goes to testify.
Mm-hmm.
And what, of course, I was going to tell him was that the reason that the health system is in such a disaster area as it is now is because of the government took it over in 1965, 80% of it over in 1965. And if they think that the same people that have ruined it are now going to fix it, they're dreaming. And it's phenomenal to me to see that you're taught every place in school how the evil, evil monopolies. Bill Gates will haul his butt up there for a monopoly, you know, but we've nationalized the school system. We've nationalized the health care. And, you know, and we nationalized gambling. Essentially, or local. I mean, you can't go out and just start your own gambling thing. So, and you can't just start your own school. You have to be approved and everything else. So, and healthcare, once a doctor signs on to take Medicare, there's no amount of money that you can pay him to fix you. After that, he has to be in. So basically, we've nationalized about 80% of the health.
They want food too.
Uh-huh.
And food too, in some ways.
In some ways, that's right. Well, and the drugs. You know, the fact is, if you
that's what I meant.
If you find the FDA, if you find a life saving drug, that's too bad. You have to wait a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll be dead then.
It's for your own good, though.
Yeah, it's for your own good. That's right.
It's a minor.
It's for
thing.
The children. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the deal is that I went down there to testify, and they were all smiley and everything. It was the usual suspects were there. You could see it was about 200 people. I walked in. I said, "Yeah, let me fill out the little sheet here." And I said, "But you know, I'm gonna, for what it's worth, I'm going to. I disagree with what you have to say here." He says, "Whoa, wait a minute!" And he yanks the sheet out of my hand,
mm-hmm.
the sign up sheet, and he says, "We literally. This is his words were quote. We don't want any dissension. We don't allow any dissension here." I'm going like, "What? What? Well, now I can.
This is a public meeting.
Well, it was. Yeah, it was not sponsored by a state." Or, you know, it wasn't like it was a public meeting.
Well, who is it? Where is this guy from?
They were from the, he was from the labor, they was being sponsored by the Labor Party of Florida, the labor, you know, political
so
party.
So you have a Labor Party jacket? I mean, did
it- No, well, the usual suspects are all walking around. It was interesting because they had, brutally.
They were goose-stepping.
What they wanted, and they were going to tape it and send it to what they wanted were the usual cadre of whiners and crybabies to go up there and say, I had a bad time, and I hurt my leg, and you know I couldn't get any. Exactly. You know, I need a new lung, and who's going to pay for it? I mean, so the point
is... If we had this program,
I'd get my new lung.
I could smoke more cigarettes.
Exactly. Exactly. And, of course, my thinking was... I got my own lung to worry about. And I want to save up for my own, and I don't want to be paying for yours. I simply don't want to. And it was interesting because before I went over there, I went to this garage sale, and this lady had talked about how a friend of hers, I think it was her cousin or niece or nephew or somebody, had needed a new lung. It was a congenital birth defect that took 30 years or whatever. And how did they do it? They were upset. They went out and did fundraisers, and that's how they paid for it. I mean, that's how they did it. You know, people actually donated money.
Selling lemonade.
Well, they didn't.
Bake sale.
Where did they get the lung from?
Bought it on eBay.
Well, some guy sold his kidney and made a I don't know. It's
right. I'll trade you a healthy kidney for a lung.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, it seems like a reasonable thing to do to me.
No problem, everybody.
That's a Dr. Nick is here. Anyway, the deal is, I thought it was interesting that there was not allowed and
no negative Nellies.
No negative Nellies, and they had a report on it, but what a joke to think that big ad and the no dissension ad. I really had to laugh because it was, well, I don't know. They're going to try.
Typical government. Yeah. Hard to believe that they had the nerve to call it a public meeting.
Right.
And yet they were going to exclude the public they didn't want.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what. And actually, I would have gone there deceptively and said, except.
You just grabbed the mic.
No, I wouldn't do that. I was going to.
You drive your car through the front door and you crank your stick.
It
would be good looking. I'll be back to pick you up later.
You know, and by the way, your health care program sucks.
Suck this! It would be like in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when the guy walks in, miscegenation, you have that miscegenation, give me that microphone. You know, that'd be the way. No, I literally was, because it was not, it was being filmed, but it was one of those, it wasn't a public filming, it wasn't like they do here on Channel 12. They had their little video cameras, and I was literally worried about my physical health on this. I would have needed help.
It was broadcast.
Labor party, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, right.
There are thugs there.
Yeah,
man.
Broadcast on the Al-Kajira.
Let's
do a few light notes.
Okay, yeah, got some light notes. Go ahead. I'm done.
All right.
Squeeze that off. Moving on.
I got just one.
Okay.
All right.
World Cup.
Soccer.
The headbutting?
Yeah.
What's up with that? He apologized, right?
Well, not to the guy.
No, he didn't.
No.
Apologized to his priest.
he said he was sorry to the fans and the players and everybody for committing the flagrant foul, for succumbing to the taunt.
So
they had all the mystics and the lip readers and everybody out there trying to figure out what the taunt was, right?
Well, apparently, and okay, so now let's clarify. Start here. It was the Italian was nipple tweaked by the.
Frog,
Frenchman.
By the frog.
Right, and apparently he at the same time said had a derogatory statement about his mother, I believe, or his sister.
Yeah, that's
might
what
have
I
been
heard.
His sister.
The rumor, that was the conjecture.
What did the French guy say?
Said something derogatory about his sister.
Okay, because, I mean, he obviously...
No, the Italian guy was the guy who spoke the words, and the French guy is the head butter.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
The head butter.
Mm-hmm.
that's true on so many levels.
The entire show, of course, watched all of World Cup. You can tell.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Right.
The worldwide.
Yep. Huge soccer fans.
Is that a big drinking festival?
No, I thought it was.
This is for all our international listeners.
I thought it had to do with the brassiere size.
Ain't no Dixie Cup.
No, that's right.
Ain't no coffee
mug.
She's
the World Cup girl.
That's right.
Yeah. Ooh. That's right. That's right, with your host, Dolly Parton.
That's right.
All right, well, that's great.
So it's over.
Okay, great.
The Italians won.
I got one not so light note. Sid Barrett died. You see that?
Pink Floyd
founder. Yeah.
And of course we have. I sent you the sound bites that I love from Pink Floyd.
Yeah. I have to work those in.
I don't need no education. I love it. We don't need no education.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll definitely work that in. That's easy. So anyway, God rest his soul. It's he was gone by about 1967, but the band looked after him. Make sure he got his royalties.
67.
And stuff. Yeah, he was really early. That one of the early members. He split right before their big hit. Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, he split. I mean, he wasn't.
I think he mentally split.
That's right.
Yeah, he was one of the founders, though. in case you were looking for a new TV here, Jimmy, Matsushita is selling a record 103-inch plasma.
I saw that. It beats out what Panasonic by 1 inch.
Jimmy doesn't need any new toys to buy. Yeah. Are you crazy? You bringing an advertisement in here? That thing's as good as sold.
As good as sold. That's good. Jimmy.
No, I don't know.
What is it? 103 inch?
103 is a little large.
Yeah, that's pretty large. Did you see that little recap story update on the guy who was trading the paperclip to try to get a house? He finally got a house.
Yeah, he got it.
Bought it. Actually, the town bought it for him.
That brings up another point. That's one of those things that's never going to happen again, probably.
Right.
Okay. And did you see where we talked months ago about the million pixel
website?
Did you see where the guy's doing it on a building now?
Like an ad space?
It's an ad space. What he's done is he's divided up the building.
Got another great idea out the window.
Well, no,
that we can't do.
This one I don't think he's going to make. But although they've already got Apple and Panasonic and everybody's taking out spots.
That's all you need.
He has got his whole building has been divided up into squares that are like 4 inches or something like that.
Brick, one size of a brick.
Size of a brick, right. And you get to buy, whatever it is, and it's a million, and there's a million of them.
Well, what he'll do is take a picture of them and put it on the web.
Well, it's all sure. How do you think I found it?
So it doesn't matter. The building is just like an attraction, home base for people to go visit. Oh, what is this?
Well, anybody that's been to Manhattan, too, has known there's essentially already where large chunks of building were actually pixels, were advertising space, moving, videos.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this, for whatever reason, somebody didn't think this was an extension of the thing that guy in England did.
Wow.
Anyway, that's gone.
Did you see
that? That idea is history.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, we're always
looking for new ideas. If you come up with a viable idea that will get us $1 million, we promise we will pay you.
Jimmy at JimmyDome.com.
Flushing toilet sound effects.
You would hear the revving of our new citation.
We'll give you some of the money.
Yeah, no, no question.
Some? Yeah, we will give you some.
We will.
A portion of the profit.
That's right.
Proceeds. We'll even do it under the table, right? We're off the book, right?
Okay.
Yada, 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 yada. I didn't hear that.
Edit.
There's the beat.
We have had some technical problems.
we'll edit that up.
Yeah, okay. So, did you say 80-year-old man dealt crack for sex?
Whoa!
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 80-year-old guy pleaded guilty for drug charges. He was trading drugs to prostitutes in exchange for sex.
Okay, what was the charge?
It's the free market at work.
What was the charge?
The market?
I don't know.
Having too much.
Oh, possession with an intent to deliver, the possession of drug paraphernalia.
Well, yeah, I had the intent to deliver.
I have a reputation to uphold. If I didn't deliver it, I would,
That's right. We didn't find out what is.
Well, he got nabbed, and then they seized there's some stuff, digital scale, whatever, crack cocaine, all this stuff. And then he, of course, told the judge, "I was trying to stay alive, Your Honor, pay my bills." And
that scale's from a marijuana,
right?
Honor.
And then, but he,
not for the crack.
He said he's 80 years old. His wife died 3 years ago, and he was trying to get laid, so he turned to prostitutes. He said he decided it was cheaper to pay for sex with crack than cash.
Right. At 80 years old, I can guarantee you. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of them that wouldn't do it for $100, but for $100 worth of crack,
they would do it.
$50.
That's it. Done.
Prosecutor said they would not seek mandatory sentences if the defense. That's weird. It would not seek mandatory sentences.
Like it.
Yeah, if the defense agreed to a 6 to 18 month jail term, which is probably a life term.
Yeah, I was going to say. How much, one thing at 80, he's probably not going to get much sex in jail.
Probably not.
If he was 70, I could understand, but 80, I don't know.
This is a victimless crime.
And one more thing here. Allah is apparently going to be born on this planet.
In a chicken egg?
In a chicken egg. A chicken in Kazakh village has laid an egg with the word Allah inscribed on its shell, state media reported Thursday.
Allah in Arabic.
Allah in Arabic.
How much for the Allah omelet?
What are the chances? What are the odds? Is this the virgin birth or what?
I mean, I think they should sell the damn egg on eBay, but
it's already on eBay.
Is it?
No, no.
Oh. Our mosque confirms it. It says Allah in Arabic. Yeah. A farmer from the village.
It's four scratches to the right and two to the left.
The question, of course, is this was Allah was here when or isn't what was it?
He's obviously here now.
Well, no, but where did he learn new Arabic? Is this the same?
Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
It's written in English for the benefit of the.
Oh, it's a subtitle.
Yeah, subtitle.
Got a subtitle.
It's like a Rosetta egg.
Okay. That's good.
How much for the a la milkshake?
Add a little.
Put two a la's in my brownies.
That's right.
Fluff it up a little.
little powder protein to go with that.
That's right.
Throw in a couple of strawberries for the what do you call it, the micro something? I don't know.
The strawberries.
The arugulators.
The arugulators. Yeah. Okay, buddy. Listen, thank you all for listening to the post show here. This is great. And thank you, Jack.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah.
Had fun.
Counselor Curtis got some legal advice finally.
My pleasure.
That's right. Well, legal, yeah, right. Okay, some advice. And Eric the Engineer.
That's it.
Spend the next couple of days mixing. Son of a bitch up. Anyway, so yeah, it'll be, when you get down, let's see. People don't understand this. We've been here now for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if this show is any shorter than 4 hours, there have been a few cuts. Anyway, don't forget to write us at Jimmy@JimmyKnows.com. We're still number 1 and 2 in Google across the board.
Yeah.
If you look up anybody.
Libertarian podcast.
People are looking for us. Now, I will say this. We're getting like zero hits on our website. So to you, dear listener out there. Mike, hi, Mike. Good to hear you.
Tell a friend.
They just don't come to our website. They get it from somewhere else.
I guess.
Could be.
All right. Anyway, great show, guys. Yep. And we'll be back soon.
Soon.
That's right. As soon as we can. Maybe this week. Maybe we'll cut one this weekend.
Maybe.
You never can tell. Don't forget to listen to Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs.
HangerDogs.com. Mm-hmm. And also, don't forget to listen to Stefan Molyneux at freedomain.com. You'll see, you have to get him now through the lemon. What is that? Squeezy. No, there's a
voice. You squeeze my lemon.
No, shut up. It's the lemon. It's the feeder. It's the feeder that has the lemon as it.
The lemon vita.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. Anyway, his stuff's still pretty good.
Podcast pickle.
It's not that one. It's
podcast.
It used to be
podcast.
If you know what we're talking about, email us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let us know.
We'll give you an update.
Oh God, I'll tell you guys.
Hey, where's our coffee mug, Jimmy? We got those.
I know. I was trying to get the little things.
Hanger Dog's got fucking beer koozies now.
That's the problem.
Man.
What happens when you do a 4-hour show? Jimmy gets tired.
Totally out merchandise.
That's right.
They got banners.
I mean,
everything.
But that damn thing is, or the beer's got a zipper on it.
I know.
We're loving it.
I'm loving it. Okay. Well, we'll see you in a while.
Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Keep your mojo working. Listen to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Doan Show.